Hello, and welcome to Sunday Messages with Fairmount Friends Church. We're so glad that you are joining us. You can find out more on www.fairmountfriendschurch.org. Here's Pastor Brock Meyer.
Mephibosheth. Yeah, Mephibosheth. There were two passages of Scripture that we pulled out of. If you can tell me both passages of Scripture, you get the tumbler. What were they? Who remembers? 1 Samuel. Actually, no, it wasn't 1 Samuel. 2 Samuel. Anybody else? 2 Samuel, what was it? Nancy's got the cheat sheet. 2 Samuel, what? Chapter... 4, yeah, thank you. There was one other one. Chapter 31. Just throw out a number. Man, this is really depressing right now as the leader of this place. I might just set it in the middle and you guys can all just fight over it. Anybody else? Nancy, do you have your cheat sheet? Yeah, what was it? First, it was 2 Samuel. 4 and 9. There you go, girl. And she cheated, and so she doesn't want it. I guess I'll just keep it. Who wants it? I see Miss Lois back here. She's... There you go, Lois. You get your own coffee tumbler right there. Anyway, these are pretty fun, and we're going to have these available, tonight. This is the new logo that Andrew created, and we're going... with the Oak Hill colors for whatever reason. And you're welcome, all you Oak Hill people. And our t-shirts. So we got the blue and gold representing. All right. The Lord's done a work on my heart, hasn't he? He's really healed me from a lot. The person who has been changed the most in this church has been me. That's a good thing. All right. Hey, if you got your Bibles, flip open with me to Psalm chapter 100. Psalm 100. We're continuing our series here on Thanksgiving and to be thankful and to enter his courts with thanksgiving. Jackson, you got me up there? We all set? To be thankful is where our focus is here. And just to encourage us that gratitude, whenever it's on the inside of you, it truly is like fuel for the engine. Gratitude is like jet fuel whenever it hits you. And the opposite of that is like anger, envy, anxiety. When that stuff comes in, it's like just jamming the brakes on where you were heading. It truly is something that just stops life. And then you are forced to just sit there and dwell in your anger, in your envy of what everybody else has, and anxiety. You just get so worked up because of everything that's going on around you. We can't really live from a place of gratitude and thanksgiving. And it's kind of like, I just got ripped off, and I don't have. And when we focus on what we don't have, I'll just tell you, you'll never have enough. When you focus on what you do have, you really become thankful for what you have rather than all the other things that you want but don't have. Are y'all with me? And so gratitude is just like fuel that gets that car running and continues to move down the road and not just kind of puttering along. I think it's like jet fuel. It launches you into new places because you're no longer distracted by those slippery things that can entice you one way or another. And usually it's, I want to either be in that group or that club, or I want to have these certain possessions. And whenever we get kind of focused on the peripheral rather than what God has called us to, life becomes incredibly distracting. We slow down, and usually we dwell in this place of frustration or disillusionment, discouragement, because everybody else has and I don't. And so we don't want to get there. So how can we get our hearts into a place of gratitude, and how do we approach the Lord with hearts full of thanksgiving? I think that probably, this is true, Terrible line for a pastor to say. I think this is probably true, that gratitude is probably the antidote for just about everything going on in the world today. Everybody that opens their mouth usually has a bent of anger on it. You turn the TV on and we want to express our views with an amped up energy that we're just frustrated with, rather than coming from a place of thanksgiving and just an amazing amount of perspective of what truly is happening in the world. You watch the news, and y'all realize that you were given an opportunity on Tuesday to do something that most people on the planet don't have, that you were given the opportunity to vote and to have your say and to have a platform for who you would like to see as your leadership. That is rare. And to come from a place of gratitude, to be thankful for this country, and maybe your horse won, maybe they didn't, I don't know. But at the end of the day, you did have an opportunity. I think that's pretty awesome. I think it's pretty awesome. I think it's pretty awesome that we had about a dozen men up here who are standing willing to fight for you to have the freedom to vote. How about that? How cool is that? I'm thankful this morning for veterans, those that would stand in the line of fire so that somebody else could live free and safe. I think that we live on the baddest country in the world. I think this is awesome. I think that where we are, and we ought to have crazy amounts of gratitude, whether you like the leadership, whether you don't, whether you like the local leadership or you don't, whether you like the national leadership or you don't, you live in America. You hit the lottery. The fact that you even became a human, I've shared this a few times, 400 trillion to one, that particular sperm and that particular egg would ever meet together, forming you. You beat all odds. You're here. You made it. 400 trillion to one. You could have easily been your brother or your sister, or you could have been an elephant or a giraffe or a shoe. You could have been anything else, right? You could have been anything else, but you were created as you. You were given a chance. You were given an at-bat as a human. You were given an opportunity to live and to breathe and to have an experience here on the earth like nobody else is ever going to have an experience. I don't ever want to trade places with a snail. That would be a bad exchange. They don't get to vote. They get ran over by cars. They're incredibly slow. Maybe they would love the Quaker process. I don't know. They would, whatever. I don't want to trade places. The human experience is a great, great opportunity that you were given. You overcame all odds, and not only did you become human, but then you were put in America. And I don't care if you have the finest house in the land or you have the lesser house in the land. I'm here to tell you, we live in the land that is better than 80% of the rest of the planet. And you might be bummed that, you know, you've got a large cell phone bill. Guess what? You've got a cell phone. Whew. How cool is that? Might be a bummer that you have to pay for 4,000 television channels. Whew, what a bummer. Yeah, what a bummer. You paid $5 for that coffee. You paid $5 for coffee. Yo, we all got problems, but let me tell you, we got good problems here in America. That's a good problem to have. And so how can we really just live with I'll tell you, gratitude truly is a dimension of living. It is a mindset that comes upon you and infiltrates every core and pore of your being. It is who you are. You look through the lens of, I am owed nothing. I deserve nothing. I shouldn't even be here. The chances that I'm even here are unbelievable, and I'm going to max it out. Did I get a good head start in life? Maybe not. Did I enjoy this growing up? Maybe not. Did I? Whatever. But am I here? Yes, I am. And I'll tell you, gratitude is the antidote for entitlement and narcissism, that I deserve and I am entitled to and I should have had, and I get peripheral vision. I want that. I want to be them. I want all of this other stuff. Just saying, you know what, Lord, I'm just thankful for you. I'm thankful that you gave me this shot. I'm thankful that you put me on this planet. I'm thankful that you put me in this country. Thank you for putting me here on such a time as this in this day. Perhaps I'm the delusional one. Maybe I'm the crazy one. But when we get caught up with something higher, all of the things of the world just dissolve into just things that don't matter. And we properly fit God in the perspective that he needs to have. You hear the stats that Megan was sharing? You understand that that's real stuff going on right now? Did you know that the census in the United States of America during the Civil War was about 31 to 32 million people? Did you know that there was about 12% of those people were slaves during that time? So we're talking 5 to 6 million people were slaves. Interesting. Okay, interesting stat. You know how many people are in slavery today with human trafficking? 25 million. 25 million. Slavery is on just an explosive rate. We knew that the Civil War was crazy slavery. We don't understand what's happening now with slavery that's going on. You understand that genocide is real? We understand that shootings, this stuff is for real, and you're here. No one? You're alive? You're here? You're not in slavery? You weren't born in the Uganda? I don't know. I'm just a prisoner of gratitude. I am locked in that place of thankfulness because my life easily could have been anything else, and I'm not owed a thing. I'm not. I'm just not. And perhaps you want Jesus to do more for you, and I do too. Perhaps you want God to do more for you, and I do too. I always want him to do more. But if I can look back at the cross and be overwhelmed by the cross, or perhaps I look back at the cross and I look at it, I'm like, that's not enough. I need more, Jesus. I need you to do something else because I'm entitled for something else and you need to do this and I didn't like how you handled that one. And to lack gratitude is to completely lack perspective of what's going on in the world and to lose sight of the cross. Tweet that. Anybody on Twitter? No. Okay. Write that one down. If I lack gratitude, I just lack perspective of what's going on in the world, and I've lost the vision of the cross. Because I need to get to live from a place of gratitude and thanksgiving is one of the most divine feelings, I think. It's God at the core, understanding who I am, who I'm not, what I'm owed, what I'm not, and who he is, and to properly see him. Anybody at Psalm 100 yet? Psalm 100 goes like this. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the land. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he that made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, meaning we belong to someone else. And the sheep of his pasture, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord, he is good. His mercy endures forever, and his truth endures for all generations. Check out this verse here in verse 4. It says, enter his gates with thanksgiving. It's like there's a protocol. Like thanksgiving is the way in which we get through the gates. This is the White House. You just don't walk into the White House. There's some protocol in order to get to the White House. I've been to Washington, D.C. one time, and for whatever reason, they didn't welcome me whenever I showed up. I was a little entitled, a little narcissistic. I thought, sure, I can just walk right in, right? Because I can just do whatever I want to. Why? Because I'm Brock Meyer. You ought to know that. They don't care. There's a protocol. They're no respecter of persons. There's a way in which you need to come through the gate. And the Bible is saying when you come through the gate, you don't come through the gate without thanksgiving in your heart. And you don't come into the courts. You don't walk into the house. You don't come into the kingdom without a song on your lips, without praise and thanksgiving, emitting life off of your spirit. Y'all, there's a way that we ought to come in here with gratitude and thanksgiving. I just wonder if gratitude is one of the biggest blessing blockers in your life. I just wish I had more and this and that, and we dwell on what we don't have. And Jesus is saying, when you come to me thankful. Come to me thankful. Whenever my kids just want to come and ask more and more and more and more all the time, you don't get it. you don't understand. Come to me with a thankful heart, and then I will give more. And if we've received so much, and I'll tell you, we've got the cross. But we've received so much more, whether that's your marriage, whether that's your kids, whether that's your home, whether that's your job, whether that's your relationships, whatever it is, you've gotten more. And to come to him as if that's not enough. And there's a blessing blocker in our hearts to where the Father doesn't want to keep blessing children that aren't thankful. And so my contention this morning is that we would just fall in love again. There would be a song upon our lips. There would be joy in our heart. There would be gratitude as a mindset. It truly is a dimension for living. Check this out. I just saw this in the news. A 69-year-old man, he identifies as a 45-year-old. And so he begins the legal action to lower his age. Isn't it amazing that we can just kind of change who we are? I just want to be something else. I want to be this age. I want to be this. I think I'm going to be that. And if you can sue the right people, you can become whatever you want to be. I want to be a full-blown red-headed Irishman. And I'm going to sue somebody until I can be that. I'm going to be a leprechaun, right? Why? Not just because I feel like it. Just because I want to. Because I can do whatever I want to do. And I'm just going to change the rules for myself, right? Rather than, Jesus, who have you created me to be? And I want to get in tune with that. And then what's my purpose and my mission? And I'm not distracted by everything else. This guy just said, he's like, I can't get a job because I'm 69. They want somebody younger. He said this. He said, my Tinder profile on Tinder, y'all just Google that later, Tinder, he said, I can't get any attention. I can't get any dates. He said, when I put 45 years old, all of a sudden I've got all these dates. My doctor told me that I'm a physical specimen, that I actually have the body of a 45-year-old. Therefore, I'm appealing that I'm actually 45, even though I have a birth date that says something else. I can just do whatever I want. Why? Because I'm an American and I'm entitled. I'm entitled to do whatever I want to do. It's crazy. And when we can rightly fix our attention where it ought to be, this girl just messes me up every time. I cried because I had no shoes until I met a man who had no feet. Helen Keller just brought some perspective to the situation. Don't you hate it that you have to get out of your big butt chair to walk across your air-conditioned living room to go to a fully electric home, open up the refrigerator, and have a sandwich? Isn't that hard? Like, you had to get out of your chair for that. What a bummer. Rather, I'm thankful for my big butt chair and my air-conditioned home, and I'm thankful I've got two legs that work that can walk me across this room. Man, what a bummer it is. And we can go on and on and on and think of these things that are hard in life, and we need to refocus on the one thing that matters. Ruth Graham, she wrote this. It's called It's My Turn. She wrote this in 1982. Let's see if it would connect 36 years later. She said, like an electric shock, the name of someone I loved dearly flashed into my mind at 3 a.m., and it jolted me awake. So I lay there praying for the one who was trying hard to run away from God. When it is dark and the imagination runs wild, there are fears that only a mother can understand. Suddenly the Lord said to me, quit studying the problems and start studying the promises. So I turned on the light and got out my Bible. The first passage that came to me was Philippians 4:6-7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Isn't it interesting? He says that whenever you pray, pray with thanksgiving, and you make your requests made known to the Lord. He said, this is what will guard your mind. It's thanksgiving that will protect the mind. It's gratitude that will keep the mind where it needs to be. She goes on to write, suddenly I realized the missing ingredient in my prayer had been thanksgiving. So I put down my Bible and I spent time worshiping God for who he is and what he is. Even contemplating what little we do comprehend of God dissolves doubts. It reinforces faith and it restores joy. I began to thank God for giving me this loved one in the first place. I even thanked him for the difficult spots that taught me so much. Do you know what happened? It was as if suddenly someone turned on the lights in my mind and heart. And the little fears and worries, which like mice and cockroaches had been nibbling away in the darkness, suddenly scuttled for cover. That was when I learned that worship and worry cannot live in the same heart. They are mutually exclusive. My contention this morning is that we would come to the Lord with thanksgiving in our hearts, that we would come with praise. And this is not to diminish any hardships that any of us go through. And let's come to the Lord with our hardships. Let's come to him with those really tough things that we've got to work through, knowing that he's good. And with a heart full of thanksgiving, I make my requests made known. We're going to wrap here this morning, and as we do, I want all of you to feel like, number one, you're a part of this family, and tonight is a big family night where we want everybody to come out and to be a part. Also, this is a community night. Everyone from the community is invited to a night like tonight to share a meal together, to have some great fellowship, to raise money for the church. How about this? Y'all realize that you're in a church that we just spent $150,000 for windows? You understand what else is going on in the world? We have good problems here. This is good problems. I remember I went on a mission trip one time, and it was about $2,500, and we took about 30 young people, and we showed up and we told the people that we raised about $70,000 to come here, and they wanted to smack us in the face. I said, you know what we could have done with $70,000? Rather than your kids coming and they wanted to hang out at the beach? Y'all, we got to just put things in the right perspective. Come out tonight and be a part, and let's give and let's bless and let's just be together as an awesome family. And as we move into a season of Thanksgiving, let's thank the Lord for his goodness in our life. Would y'all stand with me and we'll close. Jesus, we are thankful. We thank you for our lives. We thank you for our marriages. We thank you for our families. We thank you for our community. We thank you for this church and the blessing that you have had your hand on this house, God, for, golly, 160, 70 years. Jesus, you're faithful and you're good. And through it all, even with all the hardships that are around, we thank you, Lord, that you are good, and we come into your presence with thanksgiving in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.
So we're so glad you were with us today. You can subscribe on iTunes or Spotify or your preferred podcasting app. Be sure to rate us so other people can know about the podcast.